I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave.
And with us here today, we have Dr. Ian Johnson from the FAA, the Friendly Aviation Administration. We're going to be talking about human factors. Well, that factors into a lot of flying. You always have a human behind the airplane.
Careful.
Yeah, I was going to say
most, that's changing.
Most aircraft, not all of them.
Yes. Well, he's talking, you're doing human factor research on weather automation in the cockpit, correct?
Well, weather on the whole, but automation is also a piece of it.
Okay. There are so many tools available now, and there are so many electronic devices that, I mean, I would, as a pilot, I could easily get overloaded just on those alone without even considering trying to fly the airplane at the same time.
Yeah, that's true, and that's one of the things that we're looking at. So pilots have access to an array of information from various sources, various vendors. Each vendor tend to customize their applications based on the feedback that they get from their users, but there is a word called consistency, which is one of the things we're striving for. An example would be if I'm looking at one vendor's product that is depicting maybe what's the situation at my airport in terms of flight category, VFR, IFR, and they use a symbology to depict that. The symbology should be the same across the board. The color should be the same across the board. Because you're conveying the same information, you should try to be consistent in the way you do that. And that's an issue right now. We've done some research in that area, and we also found out that the feedback that we got from pilots, you know, they have an issue with that, trying to figure out, you know, what is this display telling me, and, you know, fixation and everything else. So those are things that we need to work on.
I imagine that's a real problem for guys that are renting airplanes, because if they get a different airplane, might have different generation displays, different vendor displays.
Well, that's true. I mean, I can allude to the fact that, you know, being a pilot myself, if I'm flying an aircraft with a G1000 today, which is a Garmin product, and then I switched the next day and I'm flying an Avadyne product, which is a different manufacturer, different display, I'm expecting that information that is being presented to me would be identical, mm-hmm, in terms of consistency, right? But sometimes that's not the way it is.
So you, as a pilot, we have to familiarize ourselves before flight with that system.
Right, and there's a learning curve there, right? So, and you shouldn't have that. Mm-hmm. It should be seamless, right? So the program that I'm on, weather technology in the cockpit, that's some of the things that we're looking at. We're also looking at the training that's involved, because it's always a training piece that goes with that. And to talk about automation, right, now we're looking at automation. Now, when it comes to automation, you need to figure out the roles and responsibilities, right? What is the automation going to do?
Exactly.
And how does a human play with the automation, right? What role does a human play? There's something called machine teaming, where you have the machine and the human working together, human-machine teaming, where they're supervising each other. So, but the human has to know the role of the machine, and the machine has to know the role of the human, and then, you know, that's how they work together. So, but there's a lot that you need to know, you know, if you want to automate something, why are you automating it? We automate stuff because sometimes human beings doing stuff repetitively are not very good at doing that.
Yeah, we miss things.
Right, so machines do that. But you first need to figure out what is it, what's the task that the automation has to do. And to know that, you need to know what the human is doing first.
Right.
And then you train the machine to do that. So
standardizing that across manufacturers,
right,
that's like trying to herd cats, as far as I can tell.
Well, you know, we are a regulatory body, and yes, you know, there's some things that we need to standardize, right? We have guidance out there. We also have standards, right? There's something called Aerospace Recommended Practices, which is a guidance document that basically says, if you're going to do this, here's what you need to follow. But it's not a shall document whereby you have to do it. But there are other documents that accompany that are standard documents that all vendors use. But it's one of these things that when you're trying to appeal to a certain customer, and we call it added value or competitive edge, they add value and sometimes they miss the mark.
Right.
So that's a difficult situation. And we really do not want to come out and with a standard and say you have to do it this way, because now you're stifling innovation.
Right. Right.
So we got to be very careful.
So you have to work closely with those vendors.
Right.
And incorporate whatever feedback they've gotten.
Right. So an example of that, the FAA has something called a human factors order.
Mm-hmm.
And when that order expired, rather than the FAA decided to work on it on their own, we decided to bring industry in. And so we work with folks from NAVAIR Canada and first guys in Europe to build that standard, right? And so now, if you have a vested interest in it, when it's time for you to use it, you can say, well, I didn't have anything to do with
it.
Yeah, right?
That's true.
All right. And plus, you know, the FAA, we don't know everything. That's why we depend on industry. And it's good to work with industry to get the information that you need, because we're all working for the same cause to increase safety or enhance safety. So when it comes to automation, that's a different animal.
Oh, yeah. And especially when it comes to the weekend warrior pilot, like that would be me, who
exactly.
hasn't flown. Oh, my gosh, I got to get my three landings in to stay current.
Right.
And I get rusty, and I forget what's going on.
Well, I always allude to it as it's a personal preference, right? When we do presentations, I normally include that. If you want to be good at what you do whatever it takes to get there, right? And, if you want to play basketball, right, you want to make the NBA, you're going to play your heart out and practice and practice and practice. The FAA has a lot of free literature, a lot of free seminars and stuff like that. That pilots have access to. But the guys that don't go to those seminars and stuff like that because they know it all, you know, they're the ones that get themselves in trouble. If you haven't flown in a while, you shouldn't get an airplane by yourself, even if you own your own airplane.
Okay.
So
I never thought about that.
No, we don't. That's the problem.
Well, here's the thing. With all advances in technology, isn't there the possibility of too much dependence on it? And the other factor that I'm thinking of is information overload.
Yeah, well, so the first thing I normally tell people, you have to know the capabilities and limitations of anything that you use, whether it's a phone or a piece of avionics in the cockpit, right? If you don't know that, then you shouldn't be using it. And then you want to give the pilot the information he or she needs. For instance, for takeoff, you need this amount of information. As you start to traverse the airspace en route, you need this amount of information. But you don't take all information away from them. They should still have access to any information that they need. But you customize it, or they can set it up, you know, that it falls personal minimums.
Right.
So if they go above that, then they'll get a warning or something like that to let them know. But there again, it goes back to personal preference.
Okay.
A personal responsibility.
Well, I know just driving a car, you get complacent too fast.
Exactly.
Very much so.
And sloppy.
Yes.
Well, that's pretty wild. I just lost my train of thought.
Oh, no, not that.
I derailed.
So do you guys help develop the new technologies, or are you just sort of coordinating
We do a lot of research. We look at gaps and shortfalls and stuff like that. We get data from NTSB, you know, based on accidents, and we look to see, you know, what occur and, you know, how best we can maybe get something that would fill that gap. So we do the research in the lab. We bring in pilots. So we're not doing it in a vacuum. Bring in pilots with various diversity in terms of experience, and then the data that we capture from them, we give it, it's for industry to use, right? Because they don't do that research. And basically say, if you're going to put this on a display, here are some of the things that you need to focus on. We're not going to tell you how to do it, right? It's left to them.
Okay.
But at least they have something that they can work with.
Now, you keep saying industry. To me, you're talking airline pilots.
We use airline pilots. We use general aviation pilots for research. But when I talk about industry, I'm talking about the guys in avionics.
Okay.
If it's a product that goes to avionics. If it's training, then it goes directly to the AFS, which is flight standards in the FAA, and they'll invoke it maybe into AC, advisory circle, or something like that. We also work with RTCA, which is a standards body. That's a part of industry and government working together.
Okay. But the goal is also to extend this all the way down to the weekend pilot.
Exactly.
Okay.
We don't want to exclude anyone.
Because, I mean, the airline pilots, they're doing it every day. They're current. They're proficient.
Right.
It's us, it's us
the
rusty
problem,
guys.
The problem area is GA.
Right.
I hate to say that.
Well, yeah.
And what about testing this new technology? Does the FAA test it per se, or do you leave the testing up to the manufacturers?
Well, we do prototypes in the lab, right? And then we bring in pilots to actually test it. That's how we get the data to know whether we're on the right track or not. We get feedback from them, then we modify it, then maybe do another testing again. But we're not building anything. We're not allowed to build anything. We do the research, and we said, here's the findings that we got. If you guys want to build this, here is what you can use.
Right.
Because we're not an organization that builds or agency that builds anything.
You're a data collection agency.
Right. We're a research program.
Are you doing this in live aircraft simulators?
We use a lot of simulators, but we sometimes pair up. Like we had a project with Delta whereby they were using their aircraft. But we try to make it realistic as possible. Mm-hmm. We have flight simulators at Atlantic City that we use.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah, we have to go down and visit. We're not that far.
No, we're not. I'm going to be in Atlantic City in August, so hey, maybe I can swing by.
Okay, like I say, you know he's coming. Lock the door.
Lock the door.
You've got all sorts of ideas and programs going, I imagine. You keep coming. Each project leads to another idea.
Yeah, you know, one builds on another wherever there's a gap, right? Research is that sometimes you start a project, and when you end it, there's nothing really that you can get out of it, but that's a learning experience. But most of the time, we do get something out of it, and we just don't throw the report on a shelf and say, that's it, because we're using taxpayers' dollars to do the research, and as such, they need to get a return on their investment.
Okay.
And that's the reason why we come to shows like this. We go to Sun and Fun, because that's how we do our outreach. Every time we come to these events, we do several briefings, and we're just trying to educate pilots and also let them be cognizant of some of the research that we're doing. And we get a lot of good feedback from people on pointers. Hey, have you guys thought about this or thought about that? So it's a win-win situation.
Okay, very good. I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Dr. Ian Johnson. I believe that's what I wrote.
Yep.
From the FAA. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.